You're listening to the MicroConf podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. In this MicroConf Tactics episode, we pull audio from one of our most popular YouTube videos called Why to Avoid B2C SaaS at All Costs. If you want to see the amazing visuals my team put together, click the link in the show notes or head to microconf.com/YouTube. Before we dive in to the meat of the episode, MicroConf Mastermind matching applications are open. Masterminds have had a huge impact on my career, and over the past several years, my team has successfully hand-matched more than 1,000 founders into mastermind groups by looking at revenue, team size, strengths, goals, and a few other factors. In addition to just getting matched, we have an 8-week program where you can connect with some great minds in sales, biz dev, marketing, and more. So if you're looking for accountability, honest feedback about your business, and the opportunity to make new friends that care about you and your company, learn more and apply at microconf.com/masterminds. Applications are only open until September 24th. And if you miss the window, enter your email to be notified next time they open. That's microconf.com/masterminds. And with that, let's dive in to why you should avoid B2C SaaS at all costs. Building SaaS for consumers sounds sexy. Instant signups, viral growth, changing the world. But here's the harsh reality. Most of these businesses fail for the same reason. In this video, I'm going to show you why and reveal the only B2C SaaS strategy I'd ever bet on after starting 6 companies, investing in 224 SaaS startups, and writing 5 books about building life-changing businesses. Before we dig in, it's important to define what we're actually talking about. I see people talking about B2C SaaS all the time, but when we look closer, most of the big names don't actually fit the bill. True B2C SaaS is extremely rare, and most examples of B2C SaaS either pivot to B2B or they only survive at a massive scale. So here's a few examples of not really B2C SaaS. Netflix, YouTube Premium, HBO Max, Spotify. These are actually content businesses. You don't pay them for software. You don't care that it's software delivering the music or the streaming show. What you care about is the content. These are subscription content businesses, content as a service, not software as a service. iCloud is another example folks have brought up. The reason iCloud works is only because it's bundled with Apple's hardware ecosystem. They are almost a $1 trillion company. And if you are almost a $1 trillion hardware company, you too can start a B2C-ish SaaS. But iCloud doesn't stand on its own as a SaaS business. Dropbox is another one I hear brought up. They actually started B2C, but now over 80% of their revenue is B2B. And then there's LastPass. It's the same as Dropbox. Co-CEO David Fogno said in a 2025 interview that enterprise makes up 75% of their revenue. So even though you might think on the surface they are B2C, they are actually a B2B company. There are a handful of B2C SaaS examples that I know of. One is YNAB, or You Need a Budget, which is budgeting software and personal finance software for consumers. Todoist is another one. Fitness and sleep trackers are another example, and you can see them selling to consumers and succeeding. Beyond those, there are handful or two that I know of that are true B2C versus the 50,000 plus B2B SaaS apps in the world. So if it's true that B2C SaaS is actually quite rare, why are so many founders still obsessed with building these businesses? And there's a few reasons. One, they see the appeal of a massive user base, right? The idea of millions of potential customers is intoxicating. Another reason is that oftentimes founders have a personal connection, right? Founders want to solve a problem they face themselves or build something for quote unquote everyone because they want to appeal to a mass market. The third reason is the emotional appeal. There's a sense of perhaps impacting the world or fame from building a beloved consumer brand. Folks watch movies like The Social Network, or they hear the story of Google or Twitter, and they think, well, I want to do that too. I want to appeal to a big, broad audience and be quote unquote famous. But the fact is that very, very, very few of these succeed. And the last reason is perceived simplicity. You don't have enterprise sales cycles. You don't need to talk to pesky businesses. You don't have to go through procurement processes or red tape. You just launch and you grow like magic. So it's easy to get excited about skipping the B2B or the enterprise headache, but here's the catch. Even though selling to consumers feels simple, the buying process on their end is anything but. And when it comes time for someone to actually pull out their credit card, the psychology is totally different from selling to businesses. Everything I'm saying in this video is from my personal experience and the experience of the tens of thousands of founders who watch this YouTube channel, who listen to my podcast, who I've invested in through Tiny Seed, who are in the MicroConf community. Over and over, I see the same sentiment of, I wished I had listened to you sooner, or I'm in B2C and my gosh, this is awful. And those are the sentiments I'm trying to communicate to you here in this video before you make the same mistakes. So let's get back to how consumers make purchase decisions. So in your personal life, a $30 a month subscription is probably something you're gonna pause and think about. But for a business, if that subscription will save an hour of time a week, or it'll make a business, I don't know, $100, $200, $300, it's a no-brainer. A $30 expense for a business is a rounding error. They spend more than that on toilet paper in a given week. As consumers, we judge return on investment differently in our personal lives, whereas businesses are much more willing to spend money, so they're much less price sensitive. So let's look at some key metrics to see why B2C SaaS just kind of sucks. The financials suck. Low price points and high price sensitivity mean you need thousands or tens of thousands of users to make any kind of money, and you can't spend any money to market to them. Because the moment you spend a couple hundred dollars to acquire a customer, which is not very much in the parlance of acquiring SaaS customers, but once you've spent that, you're already in the hole and you're negative. So let's take a quick example. If you're making $10,000 of MRR at $8 per user, that requires more than 1,200 paying customers and tens of thousands of signups to get those 1,200 paying customers at typical free to paid conversion rates. The other thing is the unit economics are hard. It's really hard to maintain any kind of healthy LTV to CAC ratio, or lifetime value to cost of acquiring a customer. And I commented on this before, but what advertising platforms can you realistically acquire your customers at a cost that is actually profitable? For consumers, it's almost zero. You need virality, in quotes, and you think you're gonna stumble upon virality by having a free plan, and it just is very, very, very unlikely to happen. Another reason why B2C is so tough is churn. Consumers churn in much higher numbers than businesses do. So I have some rules of thumb for churn. If you're selling into enterprises and doing large contracts, you'll see net negative churn, or 1% monthly churn. If you are selling to maybe small businesses, you might see 2 to 3% churn if you have a healthy business. If you're selling more to prosumers, maybe you'll have 5% churn, 6% churn. And if you're selling to consumers, you can see 10, 15, 20% churn. More, even more than that. I've seen B2C businesses with 25% churn. That's not even really a subscription business anymore. It's not a one-time payment. It's a four-time payment. People are paying you four times and then bailing. You're turning over your entire customer base in less than 4 months. It's catastrophic and your business is on fire. And when your churn is that high, you're effectively a leaky bucket. It's so hard to build compounding growth, and you're really likely to plateau pretty early on. So you might be thinking, but there must be some way around this, right? Maybe if I get my marketing just right, or if I go viral, I can beat the odds. So let's look at some of the most common myths that trip up SaaS founders when they're thinking about B2C. I hear and see founders fall for these traps all the time. The first is, if I build it, they will come. And you've heard this before, that's not gonna happen. Distribution and marketing and getting people to care about what you're doing, getting people to your website, getting people to click buy is really, really hard. That's the hardest part. Building the product, especially with AI and no code and all the other advantages you have these days, building the product can be hard, but it isn't the hardest part. The hardest part is getting folks to care. If you build it, they will in fact not come. Another myth is viral growth will save me. True virality is very rare and it's orchestrated. Very, very few apps ever get to the point of having any type of meaningful viral coefficient. And if you think you're gonna stumble upon it as your first effort because you built something interesting that you think some consumers will want, you are incorrect, because there are people with more experience than you building B2C apps with a lot of funding who can't find that viral loop. It's very, very difficult. Another myth is low price means faster growth, and it's actually the opposite. Low price means lower revenue per user, higher support load often, higher churn. It's usually gonna mean slower growth and early plateaus. The fourth myth is that churn isn't a big deal, but churn is the death of any type of subscription business, especially SaaS. High churn makes scaling nearly impossible. And the last myth I'll mention is I'll monetize it later. So you want to delay monetization because you want a bunch of consumers to use your product, but realizing that especially if you're bootstrapped or don't have buckets of money in the bank, you have to monetize early. because you likely don't have the time and the money to keep an app going for months, years without monetizing it. And just because you're not monetizing it doesn't mean you don't have high churn. People can churn out of free apps, and they do all the time. Consumers are notoriously fickle about these kinds of things. In a minute, I'm going to talk about the one way that I've seen B2C work. But first, I want to tell you about MicroConf Connect. MicroConf Connect is a world-class online community for bootstrapped SaaS founders. We keep the quality of the conversation and the members incredibly high by having a moderator who's in there engaging with folks, and it's a paid community. And that means people in MicroConf Connect are serious about getting things done. And there are great conversations about how to do things, about I need support, I need help. And it's an extension of our famous hallway track. If you head to microconfconnect.com, you can check out everything we have to offer with that subscription. There's a lot that's included. I encourage you to go check it out, microconfconnect.com. All right, so back to the question. If B2C is really, really hard to make work, and you probably shouldn't try it as your first effort, when does B2C work? When have I seen it work out in the wild for bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped founders? A case where serving consumers and prosumers works is where you have a dual funnel, or a B to both. And this is where you're serving both businesses and consumers and prosumers. An example of this is Castos, which is podcast hosting. It's where I host Startups for the Rest of Us and the MicroConf podcast. Castos has low-priced tiers for hobbyists and then higher tiers for businesses or podcast networks. The reason this works is that their brand scales from having a lot of users and a lot of folks talk about them online. You get real revenue and stability from your business customers, even if your lower end folks, your consumers and prosumers, may churn at higher rates. But it's nice because it gives you a nice, sustainable, smooth growth curve. One of the drawbacks to going enterprise only, for example, is you might close a big deal this month and then not a big deal next month. And so your growth can be spiky. But having B to both with a dual funnel can smooth out that growth curve.